broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for, wow, it's already February the 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2018. Hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. And if we would do that, ladies and gentlemen, focusing on God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property, wow, just imagine what could happen in America today. By the way, we talked about the high school shootings yesterday a little bit, and today quite a bit last hour. I want to leave that topic alone, except to say he was probably on medication, they claim. So beware of that reality check. The medications make folks violent. When are we going to look at that reality check? We talked yesterday about murder on the tracks, the story of Kevin Ives and Don Henry back in the Bill Clinton administration, a drug deal gone wrong. What's the scoop? Well, we've speculated for a long time. We used to interview Terry Reed, who had a relationship with Barry Seal about the drug trade in Mena, Arkansas back in the days, 20 plus years ago. Now Billy Jack Haynes, a former professional wrestler, comes forward and claims that he witnessed their murders. They're trying to open up the investigation. We hope for the truth on that big time. Next story, God had a hand in it. How divine intervention stopped a terrorist. God has a hand in all good things, folks. Don't forget the reality. We got to acknowledge God's hand in all things, right? Good news as well. Nuns win a battle to shut down a strip club, writes Bob Unruh. You would guess it. WND.com with the details of that wonderful good news piece. Hour two, how to hamstring the establishment, writes Larry Klayman. Donald Trump, you got to put Larry Klayman, chief attorney in charge of a lot of these investigations to find out the bottom line and get to the truth. Maybe we could actually lock people up and get to the bottom of things instead of having a quote, swamp circus up there, huh? Larry Klayman bringing out the great solutions. He's got a track record for success, I'll tell you that. Brave new government schools, 100% of one college, for example, donations go to Democrats, and the Republicans keep funding the education system they promised to shut down. I thought we were going to get rid of the education department if we got enough Republicans in power. Well, we got the Republicans in power, but we've seen nothing of the sort, huh? All right, looks like Uber to pay $245 million to settle Waymo's theft allegations. That's interesting. We also talked about see cops chase and tackle a fugitive homeschool kid. That's right. It's over there in Norway, writes WorldNet Daily, bringing us those details as well. You're fired, says Donald. They make that play on his, quote, reality TV scenarios. Trump to rid us of worst federal workers. Automatic raises and, quote, fat bennies, writes Paul Bettard. Now, all I can tell you is this. I want to get rid of all government employees that are not constitutional. I want to keep all government employees that are constitutional. So when they tell you that I'm anti-government, they lie about me, then why do I want to keep all constitutional government employees, huh? Huh? Bermuda, in a good news piece, repeals gay marriage. Wow, good for Bermuda over there, man. Maybe we ought to take a page out of that playbook, huh? L.A. mayor shrugs off Department of Homeland Security's threat to prosecute sanctuary city officials because we don't have any teeth in that. Folks, we talk, threaten, but nothing ever happens, right? So this California elected mayor basically says, I don't care about the feds. They're laughable. Well, where's the Donald to create a showdown with his mayor, huh? By the way, another good news piece. We had a lot of good news yesterday. A lot of bad news, but a lot of good news. And the good news piece, the commission that attacked the Christian baker in Colorado that didn't want to bake a wedding cake for the gay and lesbians. Well, the commission faces defunding now. Again, the details of the WorldNet Daily. But all I'm telling you is great news to defund that. Now, that's a defensive measure, but it's certainly a significant block. IKEA's got a fortune, man, if you will. $58.7 billion. The leader of that, or the man who had this $58 billion fortune, died. And he leaves his fortune to, quote, no one, they claim. Now, I'm concerned to where that money's going to go, because what they really do oftentimes is they bury the money and they say it's not going to anybody, but you'll find out that it winds up in all kinds of liberal circles to fund all kinds of ne'er-do-well activity, like Hillary Clinton, who should be locked up and crew. Kurt Crosby wisely says, hey, I hope that it winds up in good hands for good reasons and good things. I agree with Kurt. I sure hope that's true as well. I pray that that's true. Good point. All right. Without further ado, news the networks refused to use this hour starts now. The reason that I did the recap in the second hour today is because we had former Sheriff Richard Mack on, running for Congress now in the first half hour. And I also like to once in a while push the recap back to the second hour so second hour listeners get an idea of a lot of the stuff we cover. If they could just go back and listen to the first part of the first hour, you get kind of a show encapsulation of the previous day, highlighting some of the important issues we talked about. And the reason we do that, not that we want to just repeat ourselves to ad nauseum, but we do feel it's important because we cover so many critical issues. It's just amazing. All right, I guess the immigration debate was top billing yesterday. It took center stage. They had four pieces of legislation, Kurt, one of them by Donald, all kinds of alternative bills in the Senate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Turns out that four immigration plans fail in the Senate. The question is immigration legislation DOA? Kurt, what do you say to this?
Well, as far as I know, the Senate's heading out on a much needed vacation. They won't be back till the end of the month. And the thing is, you've got the one guy's on this side, President Trump, wants the wall. You got the Democrats that say they want to, protect the dreamers. And so they seem to not be able to be working together as far as
I'm into that. But they have these big omnibus plans, Kurt, that are just huge in funding. The issues are just so many. It's so convoluted and confusing. I think they need to try a simple, very narrowly defined, single-page piece of legislation that lets everybody up and down vote. Then we can at least see who's who. Right now, though, I don't even know what those four bills are. They're all big and complicated. I don't know what I agree with and what I don't and which ones. It's a very complicated scenario. I think they could simplify it and deal with it on a piecemeal basis, and we could get a lot further with this, Kurt.
You know, if they would just recognize that the way they get votes in Congress is just money, they could basically just say, look, each senator, we've got this much money. Please tell us who will vote for, $1 million, who will do it for $2 million, whatever. And then
they could even have an auctioneer, Kurt, on C-SPAN,
yeah,
and stuff like that. Right. And they could just go on.
That's
and
right.
I got it.
$3 million,
Congressman
$4 million,
from Arizona raised his hand. Hopefully we're going to replace him with a good sheriff. And they could just go.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Oh, boy. Ladies and gentlemen, take
courage.
It's
what happens, isn't it?
Yes.
Because they literally say, look, I want this in the bill, I want this in there, whatever. And it's just millions of dollars, so why not just, quit kidding ourselves and let's just say, look, okay, we've got this much money to spend here and we're just looking for the right number of votes. So who's going to,
sell out
this
time?
We'll take...
Whose turn is it to sell out? Who wants to vote differently to save face?
Who
on
needs
this one?
The cash, hey.
It reminds me of the Bring Home the Bacon, Bring Home the Sizzling commercials, Kurt.
Yeah.
It's just, wow. All right, enough of that. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that up, though. Four bills fail. The question is it, DOA in the Senate or what, what's going on? I'm sure they'll keep going at it. All right, she was fined $5,600, Kurt.
Yeah. I don't really know how to go through this, story,
well,
except
off,
I'll just try to give you
lady.
A quick. Yeah.
Her name is Ramona Morales.
Yeah. Well,
she's 79 years old, right?
And she's somebody who you can tell she's got a little bit of, Latin in her.
Well, you don't know that, Kurt. You just think that.
Well,
it could be
could
that she
be,
takes a DNA test and she could be whiter than you, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe she just married a Latin guy.
That's possible,
took
for
his
sure.
name. But the bottom line is she's living in California. This is a California piece. I just thought DesertSun.com is the source for it. This lady, what she did was she, you know, she thought she was going to live the American dream. So she started, she and her family started buying like older houses and basically fixing them up. And then she'd rent them out to make, you know, make money. Well, one of her apartment people or home, you know, renters, they put some chickens in their yard, Sam. And, well, they got a little visit from the, what do they call it, the code guys. The city code enforcement officer spotted these clucking birds and gave them a little violation, you know, a little city ordinance violation. So she told her renter, said, hey, you got to get rid of the chickens. Well, she thought that was the end of it, but no. She didn't know this little dispute about a couple of chickens had turned into nearly a $6,000 bill, said her attorney. But it's because these guys are making money off of her and everybody else. What they've got is the city has made a deal with this certain law group, lawsuit, or basically a lawyers group, or they're called Silver and Right. They should call them Silver and Gold because, you know, that's what they're after. But anyway, Silver and Right, they're privatized prosecutors. And, man, they bring in the bucks down there. But this lady's going after them, and maybe there's going to be some, justice. And even the local, you know,
well, good for Ramona. We pray she's successful. That's all we can say.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So, Ramona Morales doing a great job, and she's suing. She wants to have chickens. They say she can't down there in California. It's an epic battle, to say the least. Big money's against her. And she mistakenly believed that she could, like, have freedom, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah, and, you know, it wasn't. She wasn't the one keeping the chickens. It was some of her renters. She had six, and she still owns them, I guess, six rental properties down there that she's like 79. She bought with savings from a long career of cleaning houses and selling Avon makeup. And she, along with her family, they would renovate these homes and fix them up. But, you know, she got in trouble because, the the city boys started coming after her and raised her. I mean, basically the fine that she thought ought to be like $70 went to $6,000. And they tell about other stories in there where this one guy, he's a Coachella resident. I'm not sure if I said that right, but anyway, with a busted garage door and an overgrown yard filled with trash and junk, was billed $25,000. An Indio businessman was billed $25,000 because a shopping center he owned had overgrown weeds. So, you know, this is what makes it where there's going to be a lot more space in California, I think, Sam. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people leaving. There'll be less space, though, because of illegal immigration, Kurt, so...
Oh, good point.
Yeah, your point is that people are leaving and people are sick of it and people are, you know, done with this overregulation, problematic government, etc. I mean, I can't mow my lawn at, or, you know, take care of the weeds at my store because I'm too busy paying taxes so the government can have a perfectly manicured lawn. I don't have enough water because the government steals all the water and their lawn looks perfect. You know, it's that kind of stuff. But Ramona Morales. In my opinion, again, a stand-up person. I don't know what, you know, race she is, don't care. I just know that she's saying, hey, you can't just run over me like a freight train. We're not doing that. And good for her, Kurt.
Yeah, and she's getting a few more people to jump in on her lawsuit. And, you know, the hats off to the local, it's called Desert Sun, that's bringing it out. They're doing some digging. And
now, if we're white supremacists like they claim, Kurt, we should be going against this Morales lady.
Yeah,
the problem is we think she's right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Is that a problem or is that a solution? I think it's a solution.
That is a solution.
Just saying. Anyway, kind of a weird thing how they highlight that, and then there you go.
Yeah.
Environmentalists are in the news, Kurt.
Yeah, Bob Unruh's got a piece of World Net Daily. Environmentalists demand degrowth for successful countries. And what this really is, ladies and gentlemen, it's... you know, it's kind of like the group like Al Gore wants to fly to these big events in his jet plane and then tell everybody else to ride a bike. They want to drain a lake, you know, because it wasn't that way before anybody showed up. They want to put everything back the way it is. But, of course, they're not going to show us how by riding a bike or walking. They're
of course
gonna,
not.
That's for you, not he, right? Yeah,
or that's
point.
For thee, not he. Now, what is this word they use for this, Kurt?
Well, degrowth is the word, and you know, it's you put it in quotes or whatever. But what it means is they want to. They say the majority of energy generation needs to be decarbonized by 2050.
So what they really want is negative growth. They want to go backwards. Zero population is the answer, my friends. They want to just basically reverse everything that modern society does. They're against the economy. They're against the normal culture. They're against our modern way of life.
Well, not for them, though. They want those things for them. They just don't want it for you. You're supposed to be in a little hut. You know,
I see.
To
kind of like Al Gore, you know, jetting around in his plane to make sure that I don't get, you know, like running water or showers every day.
That's right. Yeah.
I see. Anyway, weird stuff. And all I can say is they're demanding this for, quote, what, successful countries?
Yeah. Now, well, they want to work on it, especially in these
successful countries.
Forward companies.
And what I would say is this, though.
The other
if you do that, then successful countries will become de-successful.
Yeah. Destitute. Yeah,
no, you got to say point. D like degrowth, de-successful, not unsuccessful. It would be de-successful, right, Kurt?
Yeah. All right.
Just saying. Weird stuff. All right, Kurt. I'm glad you don't drink coffee, my friend.
Well, there's a story about coffee, Sam.
And neither do I, by the way.
Yeah. Out of in California, the headline reads, coffee may come with a cancer warning in California. Jen Christensen at CNN is the author. I was just surprised at this, especially coming from CNN. But anyway.
And I'm sure while they're delivering the story, they're all drinking coffee on the set, aren't they, Kurt?
I suppose, Sam.
Yeah. Where's the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, when you need them, Kurt? No, I'm just saying this tongue-in-cheek, folks. I don't drink coffee because I don't believe that it's good for you. But they are saying that coffee may come with a cancer warning, an appropriate label, according to CNN. But I wouldn't want to tax or abuse the coffee drinkers either, Kurt.
Really?
No.
You'd want to let them have their choice?
That's right. And I support their choice, even if they make the choice that I disagree with, Kurt.
Well, imagine that.
You know what I mean?
You know.
Same thing with the smokers and all that other stuff. You know, I don't think those are wise decisions, but it's the same about, you know, the guy that decides that he needs Twinkies every day. I might disagree with that guy, too, but you know what? If he wants to eat Twinkies with his coffee, let him.
Yeah, they say this is the result of an 8-year
research study with your tax
lawsuit. A lawsuit filed by the Council for Education Research on Toxics back in 2010.
Council for Education Research, right?
Which demanded coffee sellers, including Starbucks, and they list a long bunch of
Tons of coffee.
To warn customers about the dangers of ingesting acrylamide. A possibly cancer-causing chemical that's produced when coffee beans are roasted.
Now I got a question, Kurt.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they find out if it's cancer-causing before they allow it to be on the market, according to the FDA, Kurt? Wouldn't that be an obligation of the Food and Drug Administration to vet that? And if it's not safe, then we shouldn't have it. And now, I'm not saying that we need the FDA to lock down. What I'm kind of making a point is that whenever they want something, it just flies straight through. Big pharma drugs, you know, all these things. Otherwise, they just like go, oh, are you kidding me? You can't have, like, a natural herb or something that grows from a plant. That might be crazy.
They say 13
of the point.
Yeah, 13 of the defendants have settled, and they've agreed to give a warning, including recently 7-Eleven. The other manufacturers would have to follow suit if they don't settle the lawsuit and if the judge finds that they have violated state laws.
All right,
so
there you go. Out of control regulation down there in California. Folks ought to just move out. Move to greener pastures, better places to be, that's for sure. That would be my recommendation, by the way. All right, sad tale, a comedian's dead, Kurt.
Well, yeah, I'd never heard of this comedian, Sam.
So why should we talk about somebody you've never heard of, Kurt?
Well, I mean, I thought it was, I guess you could say, I was going to say funny, but the guy died at 95. Well, I mean, you know, he said some funny stuff in here. It says, comedian and Pittsburgh native Marty Allen dies in Vegas at 95.
Not Woody, Marty.
And this is according to the postgazette.com. Sharon Eberson's the author, but it says, I guess he used to say, hello, dare. He says, the secret to his longevity, said, I work out every day. I stay in shape. Just yesterday, I was on the treadmill for an hour. Then some idiot turned it on. I thought that was kind of funny. But anyway, bottom line is, hey, 95 years old. I think maybe that humor helped him along the way, Sam. Possibly, do you think?
Absolutely. There's no doubt he had a long life. And you know, your funny bone's part of it. How, you know, moral this comedian was or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll bet he was pretty moral because, you know, he's back from the old days.
And he's also probably pretty moral because they're not mentioning it really much in the mainstream press.
I guess he told a guy named Nick Thomas of Boomer Magazine about still going strong at 95. He said, I get up in the morning and the only thing that doesn't hurt is my pajamas. He said he had a good temperament. He said, I never fought with anyone and just wanted to entertain. My career and the people I've met have been a great blessing.
Huh. Cool. Can he talk about
It's a reason they wouldn't really talk about this guy. Yeah,
that's right. See what I'm saying? If he was like all perverted and if he had like assaulted women or whatever, then he'd just be like top star.
Yeah. Good point.
All right. Anyway, our prayers are with Marty Allen's family, even though he was an old gentleman, had lived a long, great life. You know, hey, it's sad to lose somebody, so our prayers are with those folks.
Good point.
All right. Our prayers are with the guy's family that says things are a blessing, you know?
Imagine that.
The Israeli cops are in the news, Kurt.
Oh, yeah?
One of your favorite pals, Benjamin Netanyahu, I guess he's indicted in a pair of corruption cases.
Whoops.
Did you see that?
No.
You like Benjamin Netanyahu, don't you, Kurt?
I know he's the big shot in Israel.
Corruption going on with that dude now, they claim.
I'm wondering if it's really true or...
How do I know? How can I even know the truth? Fake news is everywhere, my friend. Without a big staff, it's too hard to vet everything, isn't it? Anyway, we thought we'd bring that to your attention anyway.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Getting advice from a teenager is a little unusual. but please listen to me. If you find yourself pregnant and you're scared, I've got some advice because I've been there. My boyfriend wasn't ready to be a father, and frankly, he wasn't all that interested after I told him I was pregnant. My friends told me I should keep the baby because it would be fun. Well, having a baby is about the baby. It's not about whether I have fun. Some people told me my parents would help take care of the baby, but my baby still wouldn't have both a mom and a dad of her own. And that's really important to me. After putting my feelings aside, I made the best decision I could for my baby. Not because I felt it was easy, but because I felt it was right.
Adoption. It's about love.
I didn't give my baby up. I gave her more.
A message from LDS Family Services.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, Benjamin Netanyahu. Or Netanyahu, whatever you want to call the guy. Well, I guess Israeli police are recommending that he'd be indicted on a pair of corruption cases. So time will tell where that goes. I don't know if Benjamin's a friend or not. A lot of people love Israel, say that he's a friend, but I don't believe the biblical Israel that we should defend is the same as the current government Israel, if you will, that has literally been, in my opinion, very predatory, very hostile, very military-industrial complex-ish, if you will, getting a ton of money from the United States to stir up trouble in the Middle East. If you don't believe me, go study the USS Liberty. We'll talk about it from there to make my point. There is a reality check separation between the biblical defense of Israel in the future versus the defense of the, in my opinion, police state of Israel that we currently see today. And I know people are going to attack me over that. Christians are going to go berserk, but I call it as I see it, folks. And I stand on principle every time. And I'll debate you on it. That's all I can say. All right, Jeff Sessions is in the news. Kurt, I want to attack Jeff. Kurt. Not because I want to attack Jeff personally, but because I want to take on the issue he brought up regarding principle. Jeff Sessions unconstitutionally props up at civil asset forfeiture program in address to U.S. sheriffs. Did you see this?
I think I saw a headline on it, yeah.
It's a shame, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason I stand against Jeff Sessions is because it's unconstitutional. Kurt, it's stealing. And what it's the idea is...
It's kind of got that old bumper sticker like Ron Paul had that said, don't steal, the government hates competition.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, like that. Kind of, and the bottom line here is, look, I understand the idea. The idea is this. Governments are saying, hey, we're trying to fight crime. And those who, you know, have ill-gotten gain assets from crime, we need to strip them of those ill-gotten gain assets, because if we don't, they'll just use them to commit more crime. And the more they, you know, get money, the more crime they commit, da-da-da. That's all true. That's all factual. That doesn't change the fact that the government doesn't have the authority for that property either. And this, quote, eminent domain idea of asset forfeiture suggests that the government should be entitled to it as opposed to you. The problem with it all is one theft doesn't justify another theft, number one. Number two, the government then ends up with a racketeering kind of a theft mentality where they get all kinds of toys. They get, you know, Hummers and SUVs and military hardware. And I mean, it goes on and on and on with the ill-gotten gains as well. And what you end up doing is saying, well, we're going to shut down the criminals and take away their assets. But yet we're going to let the government then fund their, quote, agenda-driven whatever with the assets. The bottom line is both of them are criminal. And it ought to stop. And what we need to focus on is this due process. Now, if you can prove via due process, Kurt, that these assets were ill-gotten gains from criminal activity, we may be able to talk about this after due process. The problem is these asset forfeiture laws are designed to take away these things, give a portion of it to the cops to fund their agendas. But a lot of times it's done without even due process at all, Kurt. And it amounts to theft. And I submit to you that what you got is legalized plunder via asset forfeiture by your government. It's criminal. It ought to stop. Jeff Sessions defending it and promoting it to the sheriffs as a necessary tool in fighting crime. I completely disagree. We need to make sure that due process and a speedy trial are front and center in this discussion. And I get if there's literally ill-gotten gain assets after due process and, you know, a jury of a peers and prosecutions, prosecuting to the fullest extent of the law. I get that you might say, okay, now we got so-and-so in jail. What do we do with all these assets? There might be a discussion that makes sense there of what to do with those assets now. They certainly shouldn't be the criminals if we can prove it was received or obtained from ill-gotten gain. I get that. The problem is we're violating due process and a right to a speedy trial in the process, Kurt, and that's where I'm really rejecting Jeff Sessions' comments to the quote Sheriff's Association. Kurt, any comment on this one?
Well, wouldn't it be nice if we just, you know, respected people's property and that
yeah,
kind of
it would
thing.
Be nice. What can we do to move the needle on it, though?
Tank them. I mean, it seems like there's one of the Ten Commandments that talks about that.
Thou shalt not steal.
And, you know, and then you got the coveting one that's kind of
thou shalt
connected.
Not covet.
I don't remember Marshall Dillon, when he had a criminal that he had to put in jail just taking their farm. I just don't remember that.
Anyway, that's what Jeff Sessions is doing, and shame on Jeff. Shame on Donald for not standing up against this guy. Shame on the sheriffs for allowing this to be kind of perpetuated. Shame on the folks getting the ill-gotten gain, supposedly denying the criminals of ill-gotten gain. They simply lost the moral high ground.
Kind of reminds you of the old days of the Sheriff of Nottingham.
I don't know what that means, really.
Well, in the Robin Hood world.
Robin Hood joins the thieves? I get it.
No, you had the Sheriff of Nottingham that would basically, instead of protecting the people, he was basically...
stealing.
And so you got theft,
and then you got the sheriff protecting folks and stealing, and then you got the Steelers stealing from the Steelers, right? And Pittsburgh's not even involved. Anyway, kind of a crazy thing. I know you like Robin Hood. I don't personally, because that's just who's gonna be the greatest theft artist or whatever else, and you know who's the deciding factor to return something to who. And anyway, it goes all wrong when you decide that you can take things. And shame on Jeff Sessions. All right, Kurt, there's a headline from WorldNet Daily. They're in an epic battle for their very livelihood, financially speaking. And they've reached out to many of us, and we've talked about this on the radio several times, about WND.com, formerly known as WorldNet Daily, saying we need your financial support. We're losing a lot of our revenue. Anyway, there's been a lot of emails sent out from Joseph Farah, founder and CEO, or chief executive of WorldNet Daily. And every time he sends out a new article documenting their need for support and cash, I learn new things that I didn't know before. And I think it's worth highlighting their efforts, their epic battle here, because I think it's very, very educational or instructive, if you will. All right. And so there's a big headline from WorldNet Daily where they document they're in an epic battle with Salon Magazine. Because when they ask their listeners and their viewers and their readers and everything else for funding, then now this Salon Magazine goes against them. And they're like, oh, man, you know, they're licking their chops. And WND's on the ropes. They're begging for money. Well, Joseph Farah highlights some reality in this debate that I thought was worth reading a portion of, at least, and discussing. And then there's a line that I want to take away from this that I think is really valuable, Kurt. Anyway, go ahead. Joseph Farah writes.
So do you want me to read the whole thing?
Yeah, just the start. I can.
You know, the
it's long, so we can't read it all.
It says, Salon.com is lined up with other leftist media to complain about my emails to subscribers asking them to support the pioneering independent media company with financial contributions, suggesting the hard times we are facing is because we are purveyors of fake news. And then he gives the link of where you can read the story in Salon. He says, I'm not embarrassed. Being attacked by Salon is a great honor, and I've experienced that honor many times over the years. Let me explain the real facts of life about why Salon is even still around after so many years as a real propagator of real fake news. And he puts real in like italics, you know what I mean? He says, if I had a rich dad who subsidized WorldNet Daily to the tune of millions of dollars a year, even more than all of my company's annual revenues, I would not be begging for money from WorldNet Daily's readers. That's what allows Salon to sling mud at WorldNet Daily and other independent media year after year, decade after decade. He says, according to Wikipedia, which is also known for not being charitable or truthful toward WorldNet Daily, Salon has been unprofitable through its entire history. How does it continue? It seems William Hambrecht, father of Chief Executive Officer Elizabeth Hambrecht, also, along with Salon Board Chairman John Warnock, have provided huge cash infusions into the company. In 2012 alone, while Salon had total revenues of $2.7 million, those subsidies amounted to $3.4 million. WorldNet Daily isn't owned by billionaires. It's not even owned by multimillionaires. It's mostly owned by me and my wife, who have invested everything we have in the company. WorldNet Daily has never lost millions of dollars. It can't afford to. When revenues dry up, we cut. Sometimes we beg, but we keep slaying dragons no matter what.
Now, the only thing I disagree with this whole thing so far is when he says we beg.
What he's really doing
is reaching out to his supporters and saying, listen, if we provide value to you, please reciprocate. We need it. And I agree with the same. I don't beg for anything.
Yeah.
But I do ask my listeners, our viewers, in this case, their readers and everything else, to be involved and support what we need. Yeah. We can't get money from normal advertising, or else we can't bring up the topics with the viewpoints we do. And so we're just asking you, if we provide value for you, to reciprocate. And Joseph Farah is doing the same. Now he says, quote, we expose fake news. We don't manufacture it. We also don't have a rich daddy subsidizing WND.com. He's spot on. We'll give you more details in seconds. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
WND.com, Joseph Farah writes, we expose fake news. We don't manufacture it. We also don't have a rich daddy subsidizing WND.com. They're in a battle with Salon Magazine. It's an epic battle, and Joseph's in the middle of this article that he wrote. Every time I read these things, I learn there's an epic battle between Salon and WND.com right now, because Salon's attacking WND.com for going to its listeners, to its readers, to its viewers, whatever you want to call them, for support. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, if we provide value to you, as one of the most Christian new media digital services on the internet, will you voluntarily support us? Right now, why do these liberals at Salon that are attacking Joseph Farah, why don't they attack National Public Radio that begs for money all day long as well? But of course, again, the double standard is highlighted in my commentary. Nevertheless, back to Joseph Farah, Kurt.
And Sam, isn't it kind of begging if you go to some website and it always comes up and says, hey, you know, if you want to read the rest of it, you got to sign up and pay this or whatever. That's
No. They play games with words. It's begging if you do it. If they do it, they call it a paywall, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
But your point's well taken. You're spot on.
I thought
on.
It was amazing they quote, Wikipedia and say that, hey, in 2012, that Salon had $2.7 million in revenues. That means total dollars in. And they had some Daddy Warbucks that handed them $3.4 million. That's more than, you know, what their total money in was. They would have been out of business for sure. Joseph Farah continues, he says, from our own experience at WorldNet Daily, when we were generally in an adversarial position to the policies of Bill Clinton, George Bush, and Barack Obama, we had ups and downs. Up for Clinton, down for Bush, up for Obama. Republicans
now, let me stop you
and
there.
Conservatives.
I want to mention this. This is what's interesting. You know, we've made the point that when the Democrats are in power, we do very well. When the Democrats are not in power and they believe the Republicans have saved the day, the big threat, the boogeyman is over, then people back off. Our buddy Larry Pratt over at Gun Owners of America has highlighted this too. When you got an enemy in office, supposedly, then money pours in, we grow, we do. And when supposedly a friendly is in office, we seem to have the conservatives just go away. Oh my goodness, thank heavens we solved the threat and the problem. The problem is with that deceptive election cycle manipulation, or who's in power, that playing games with this parties, that's the problem. The swamp, look, when the Republicans are in charge, the swamp promotes the military-industrial complex and acts like they're against the welfare state. When the Democrats are in office, they promote the welfare state, and the Republicans are saying that's the boogeyman. In either case, as our buddy Jesse Lee Peterson would say, they're both lying. They're spending money like 90 going north. It's spot on. And the problem is it's this seesaw. But WorldNet Daily, along with gun owners and others, and we've highlighted this too, when the opposition's in power, we tend to get support. I wish we could get support consistently, Kurt. And I know you're saying I'm begging for money. I'm just merely saying if we provide value for you day in and day out, regardless of which party is in charge of the swamp, that you stand up with us and we ask you to reciprocate that value. So is Joseph Farah. But he's highlighting the ups and downs, Kurt. And we've seen this in so many ways. He's spot on that, by the way. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, he says Republicans and conservatives generally like WorldNet Daily more than Democrats. So when we were seen as challenging Clinton, our readers were with us. But when we were seen as challenging Bush, not so much. They came back when we were perceived as a contrarian voice to most of the Obama agenda, and then came Donald Trump. I'll be honest, I like Trump. I like him a lot. This is no secret, Joseph Farah writes. I write a daily column, and I don't hold back much of my personal opinion. I think his first year in office places him in rarefied company as a modern president. In fact, I would say he's the best, accomplishing more than the best president of my lifetime in his first year, Ronald Reagan. I will also admit WorldNet Daily has not been adversarial toward Trump like most every other media outlet, so why is traffic down slightly? I suspect it's because many Republicans and conservatives think Trump's got everything under control. Maybe they don't realize the president is one Democrat-dominated midterm election away from impeachment. And that is why WorldNet Daily should be an especially important voice. You know, he goes on and talks about the need for their
anyway, a great article, and there's ways you can get involved and donate, and we encourage you to do that. WND.com doing a great job. A lot of the research we get is from WND.com. A lot of it's from Daily Caller. A lot of it's from a group called Newser. A lot of it comes from Drudge. All the places we go are all the places the mainstream press would call fake news sites. We would claim they have fake news, and we have the real news. As WorldNet Daily, in my opinion, appropriately clarified, we expose fake news. We don't manufacture it. Furthermore, we don't have a rich daddy or a rich uncle that subsidizes WND.com. That's the most important point, and that's why we're not begging for your money. But if we bring value to you, please reciprocate. Do the same. We need your sacred money to tell the tale. We can't get it from advertisers because they want to either drop us like a rock or control what we say. We won't have either of those. We can't get it from government like National Public Radio or some of these government entities. We believe in the free enterprise system. We're not going to force you to pay for us via subsidies like they are. We're just going to say, if you believe in us, then support us. They're going to force you to pay via government edict and government grant style. We're just going to say, if you believe in what we do, support us. Well, then they turn around as they steal your money in the subsidized fashion because those are their values. And they're going to attack us for our values, which are, if you believe we provide value, reciprocate and fund us. We're doing it voluntarily. They're doing it by force, and they mock us in the process. And anyway, it's sad to say the least. All right, I want to discuss this final story before the end of the hour. Because Joseph Farah said he likes Trump. He likes Trump a lot. They're one of the leaders of the Thank Trump U.S. movement, doing a great job with that. Again, I'm concerned about some things with Donald, and I bring those up. Not because I want to be contrarian or attack Donald, but because I always focus on issues. That's why I'm against Jeff Sessions' unconstitutional promotion of asset forfeiture. I don't hate Jeff. I just think it's unconstitutional, and we've got to stand up for what's right based on issues, right? Well, the same thing is true here, and this story highlights why we like Trump and why we support a lot of what Trump does. And the headline says this, Kurt, you're going to love it. Donald Trump has a new plan to save money on food stamps, writes Amber Randall at the Daily Caller. Did you see this piece?
I don't think it's the exact one, but I think I've seen some.
Well, here's what they're doing.
Or whatever.
They're saying we're done handing out cash willy-nilly to buy whatever the heck you want. And they're going to create these, I don't know what you call them, but like lunch boxes or you know, boxes that you get delivered, and it's going to consist of a bunch of different basic food items. And the idea from the Trump administration and others is, hey, we're not just going to let you buy all kinds of garbage. Number one, it's too expensive. And number two, you know what? It's not even nutritious. We're going to bring you back and give you food so that you don't spend money on the wrong things and so that we get a handle on this thing. And I think it's a brilliant strategy. And I'll tell you why in just a second. Not because I want to give out food boxes. But again, we live in this hostile environment where it's been the wrong way for so long. You got to start somewhere, as Kurt wisely teaches us. And so I'm saying, hey, I support it. At least they're not buying, you know, soda pop and coffee, and which causes cancer, according to the California folks. I'm just saying at least it's staple items, more on need, not on want, and at least it reigns in the program. And I'll tell you the benefit for it in just a second. But what do you think of this, Kurt?
Well, it's a step in the right direction, I would say. I even like the idea of where they said, hey, man, if somebody's getting something, they need to ante up. They need to you know, perform some work. There's trash to be picked up. There's other things, you know, that people can do. And there's no reason that able-bodied individuals shouldn't participate, you know, that kind of thing. It's just God's law.
The goal is to take half of the money that people get from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, in other words, nicknamed SNAP.
SNAP.
And instead send such families.
Makes me want to snap.
Well, be careful, though. If you say that, they'll pretty much haul you in the clink, say you're a terrorist because you probably got a gun. Yeah. Now, they say that it's a box of hand-picked, non-perishable items called America's Harvest Box, Kurt. Now, I support the effort. Again, not because I support the handouts.
Right.
But because I believe what's going to happen is this, Kurt. The truly needy are going to get the help and be grateful for the box.
Mm-hmm.
Those who want to eat Twinkies and donuts and have other means of money are going to pretty soon just say either they're going to start throwing it away. We got to have people, you know, keep an eye on that. Or they're going to decide they don't want it.
Yeah.
In other words, that's one of the great ways people on the local level, people who are churches and non-profitable charitable organizations, etc., they can evaluate the real need and find out, are people throwing these boxes away? What are they doing with it? Is there really a need for food here? And they can administer it with love, but yet reality. And mm-hmm. That's something the federal government cannot do, but this is a step in the right direction. Is it enough? No, I'd just shut the program down. Actually, what I'd really do is phase the program out over a certain amount of time so that we didn't leave people in the lurch and those kind of things, but yet we could get government out of what it has no business being involved in the first place. Nevertheless, it's a start, Kurt, and it's a step in the right direction. And again, it took getting the Donald to do this.
Yeah, cool.
Anyway, I found that interesting, and I think that that's worth discussing. They call this America's Harvest Box, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Now, if you were a liberal, you'd be begging to put raw honey in there and you'd get the contract, Kurt.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm just not a good liberal. I mean, I hope people get good raw honey because I think it's good for them, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. I don't want the government to force them to.
Like yeah. I say, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
It's far from perfect, but at least something's being done in the positive. We're going to give incremental gains, every chance for success and every chance to grow. Just like Melania in the White House, you know, reducing her staff by 2/3 and chopping the money in half big time as a leadership example. It's small, I know, but it's a start and it's a leadership. It's a solution to copycat, to follow, to promote. And the same thing is true here. Yep. Let's give basic foods to support the truly needy as we eventually wind down the program. Let's make sure people are not taking advantage of it. And that's a start for sure. And those who really need it, well, I'm glad they get the blessing for a while we work on a better private sector, church-backed, charitable solution or whatever. In the meantime, though, hey, if you really need the food, it's there. But it's just not, you know, do what you want with the cash. And it, you know, if you're not really in need, then you probably won't want this harvest box as much. And so all I know is it's good news.
Yeah.
It's great news. And again, there's less people on food stamps because there's more people working under the Donald Trump change from Barack's plans, too. When Barack was in office, we heard food stamp usage and needs and dependency was going up and away. And now under the Donald, we know it's already gone down by several million. And we know now they're basically replacing it with common sense options. Now let's take the next steps and the next steps and the next steps. And pretty soon we'll make America great again, Kurt, if we do that stuff.
Yeah, we're on the road again.
Just imagine if we could bring nonprofit charitable organizations into the mix and let them do it in the private sector, managing what they do best on the local level and getting government out of it entirely, getting rid of regulations, getting rid of government expenditures, all at the same time. I mean, it just sounds like an opportunity of a lifetime, if you ask my humble opinion. All right, and final word's yours, Kurt.
Hey, I don't even know what else to add except for God bless America, God bless the world, and let's follow his commandments and make America and the world great again.
Amen. By the way, if you want to support us, every penny is sacred money. You'll promote the Widow's Mite Radio Network, allowing us to tell the tale of liberty and challenging fake news everywhere. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We need your support. Please help. We declare this nation shall endure.